Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for February the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Hope you had an absolutely delightful, incredible weekend. I hope it was full of God, family, and country pursuits. And I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that it was peaceful. That you spent your time building up the lives of others, following the Prince of Peace, and absolutely making a difference in this world, becoming a minister, acting as a servant of Jesus Christ. Hopefully that was your pursuit this weekend. If it wasn't, we hope that becomes your pursuit next weekend. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. A quick recap of Saturday's show might make sense. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA, and we diverted from our normal political discussions with the good sheriff. And we talked about the County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. We talked about the public event that's one day only for the public, 2 days for sheriffs and public officials. It's in near the Woodlands in Texas. That's right outside of Houston. It's on February 26th and 27th, 2021. Coming up, 2 weeks about, whatever, right? I guess it's 10 days or so. Anyway, incredible event coming up just outside of Houston in the Woodlands. This training is absolutely guaranteed to provide irrefutable evidence that sheriffs and local officials of every county and parish have the power and the duty to protect their constituents from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's a big, bold claim, huh? Well, we can deliver, ladies and gentlemen. The event, well, you can attend it. CSPOA.org. Click on the link and learn more and then sign up today. Would love to have you. We're working on the topics for that event. And so Richard Mack and Sam Bushman chat about personal stories of past events and the value that comes from CSPOA educational opportunities. I'm a lifetime member of the CSPOA and highly recommend you become one as well. Now, second hour, Mac and Sam continue to break down the constitutional county sheriff's proper role and how we could best work with those who are, or those who elect him. So how do the people and the sheriffs work together? We had a behind the scenes discussion of how the CSPOA training events come together. We talked about a bunch of topics that I submitted for the conference. We also talked about hope for a peaceful future, rounds out the conversation. So a lot of good stuff going on. That broadcast available at CSPOA.org. Spread the word, tell your neighbor, would you please? CSPOA.org. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, our website, libertyroundtable.com. Our nationally syndicated radio network, though, the folks that make it all possible to spread the word around the country and around the world, lovingliberty.net. Tell your neighbor, spread the word, lovingliberty.net. They've got iPhone apps. They've got an Android app. Download it. You can listen to live radio and on-demand radio absolutely free. You can click and follow the Twitter feed. You can donate. It's one of the most helpful things you can do there, by the way, is donate. We really need your financial support, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, that's the recap of Saturday's broadcast. You know we're live on the air 6 days a week, right, folks? 6 days a week, we're live on the air. And it's hard-hitting talk all 6 days, man. Once in a while, we'll take a break from politics and diverge and talk about something else. But for the most part, you're talking about live radio that breaks down the issues of the day, breaking down what's important to understand and to be aware of and all that kind of stuff, right? All right. There you have it. Let's see. There's so much to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. It's shocking. We're going to have Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org, in just seconds. In the meantime, though, it turns out that Donald Trump was acquitted. Liberals are rioting all over about this, right? They're just freaking out big time about it. And I don't really understand why. All right. Donald Trump acquitted in second impeachment trial. It was a 57 to 43 vote. Seven Republicans voted to convict President Donald Trump. And now the word on the street is there's going to be serious blowback for those Republicans. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. And what do you think about the acquittal for the second time of Donald J. Trump, sir?
Well, I think we expected that, and it is the correct call given the charges, I believe. And well, certainly it was a show trial to begin with. It shouldn't have happened, really. I mean, the president was out of office. The impeachment is used for the sole reason of removing a public servant from office. So it didn't make any sense to have the second impeachment anyway. But nevertheless, you know, the Senate made the correct decision, and he's not removed from office because he already left office. So
contrary to popular media in bed with extreme socialist and communist leaders suggesting that Donald Trump would never peacefully leave power. So much for that, right? He already left peacefully. In fact, even the day of the inauguration, he chose not to be in town to decrease controversy.
Right, right. I think it was a smart move on his part to just leave town, and I hope he'd never attended the show trial either. I mean, right? It didn't make sense to have the trial, and even Chief Justice John Roberts wouldn't preside at the trial because he knew it was not a constitutionally warranted function.
And that's where I'm mad at John Roberts, though. One thing is to bow out and say, I'm not going to do it. But he should have spoken out literally about the law. Okay, he doesn't have to make it political, but he needs to seriously say, look, the law doesn't support this. That's why I'm not doing it. And so I'm disappointed in him because he could have provided incredible direction that would have let people know the truth. And what he did was he hid from his duty. Okay, it's one thing to say I'm not going to preside over this because it's not constitutional. It's another thing, though, to mumble the word and keep quiet about it, which is what he did, leaving it in the hands of debaters and interpreters and everything else. You know, what we really should have done is had the Supreme Court come out boldly and say, hey, this is constitutional for Congress to move forward with this trial, or it's not. In fact, isn't that their primary role?
Well, that's a great question, Sam, to which I don't know the answer, but most justices don't speak out on any issue, any political issue or otherwise, because that type of an issue might come before them and they don't want to show any bias.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. This is not a political issue. This is an issue where either Congress has the authority to go forward or not. And in my opinion, the courts, when we have a battle about something, the courts should decide that. And the court should quickly decide, you know what? Either there's authority for this to proceed or there's not. And the courts remain silent as if we had time for someone to bring it to the courts. Do you bring it to the courts in a formal move, or do the courts speak up when necessary? And let me tell you, when it's specifically the Constitution calls for the Supreme Justice of the land to preside over this trial and he fails to do so, there needs to be an explanation, sir.
Okay. Yeah,
it's not like
point,
the Constitution doesn't call for it or anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, governors often ask their attorneys general for an opinion on a legal matter before they embark on some course. The legislature does that too. They get all kinds of opinions from their attorney general's office before, you know, taking a position. So yeah, you know, I would have preferred, I guess, for Justice Roberts to have explained why he chose not to preside at the trial. I think that would have been helpful. Sure, he probably would have dissuaded several of those seven Republicans from voting convict. I don't know. It's a good point, Sam. Good point.
Anyway, I just find that interesting. Now, you could say, well, wait a minute, Sam. The courts usually stay out of this kind of stuff. Not when the supreme law of the land says you're supposed to preside over this thing and you choose not to and don't explain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're not talking about just some random case where it's like, hey, no one followed the proper channels to bring it to the court. The court remained silent on it because they really had nothing to do with it at this point. Congress can determine its own rules. Those are different matters. This is an issue where the Constitution literally says the Supreme Court justice shall preside over these things. And he didn't. And then the next one in line, the vice president, would be the next up to bat. They didn't. And really no explanation. And what you created in this case was a massive conflict of interest when you had this whacked out, you know, long-term senator, which was a witness, a voter, a decision maker, but yet at the same time, the quote judge in the case. And, you know, when you get all that conflict of interest and then the court says nothing about their ducking their responsibility, it's just shocking to me, sir. Shocking how derelict in their duty they've become. But one yet thing they're going to boldly stand up and say, hey, we're not going to even take on the Texas case. Out of here. We're not even going to talk about it. Next. Yeah. The two are so contrasting. It's shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. Another thing that concerns me, Sam, is the politicization of the impeachment and trial process. As you know, all Democrats voted to convict, and almost all Republicans voted not to convict, except those seven. What this portends for the future is similar proceedings along partisan lines for future
Amen.
Presidents.
It's become, well, our founders warned us against parties, Lowell. Need we say more? Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives pain capable bill, which would end painful late term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, I'm Sam Bushman with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. I got a sliver of potential good news if it doesn't backfire. Lowell, you ready?
You bet.
CDC, quote, domestic travelers don't need to take a corona vaccine to get on flights. Latest news, what do you say?
Well, I find that encouraging news. Is that coming from the TSA or from the CDC?
CDC.
Because the TSA, they might, double down on that, just like they did last week, announced this February decision to, require travelers to wear masks.
Yeah, and that's why I say, again, what you've got is a bunch of unconstitutional agencies battling for, quote, mm-hmm. supremacy, all unconstitutional. None of them are lawmaking. They're all legislating by... I don't know what you want to call it, by edict or by, quote, regulations, et cetera. It's a problem, and that's why I say it's potentially a sliver of good news if it doesn't backfire, right?
Uh-huh.
So the CDC is saying, hey, it's not necessary. Hopefully people will realize that it isn't necessary, and we can move about the country freely as we have hitherto done. Our prayers are that that's the case. Well, that's a great lead into this reality check, the great vaccine scam, sir.
Yes, we're talking about an article written by Vasco Kolmeyer, who was born in and grew up in the former communist Czechoslovakia. He has an insightful article posted at lewrockwell.com, and basically he starts off with the Washington Post headline that says, South Africa suspends Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine rollout after researchers report minimal protection against variants. And then the opening sentence of the article goes this way, Sam, and quote, South Africa will suspend use of the coronavirus vaccine being developed by Oxford University and AstraZeneca after researchers found that it provided minimal protection against mild to moderate coronavirus infections caused by the new variant first detected in that country. End of quote. So Kolmeyer, he calls this gargantuan fraud being perpetrated upon humanity in the name of COVID-19. He believes the vaccine failure was completely predictable and inevitable. So basically, Sam, he's writing, he's saying to us that the vaccine was going to fail. Anybody with thinking mind could have predicted its failure. Its failure was inevitable. Okay, so those are, that's pretty strong language. And so he says, here's the truth. He writes, it is not possible to devise an effective vaccine for the type of virus that causes COVID-19. Why is that? Well, coronavirus is a type of virus that mutates widely, and because of that, it's impossible to come up with a vaccination protocol that would stop its spread. Every bona fide virologist knows this. End of quote. But Sam, the public is not told this. You know, all we hear is that the vaccine is going to protect us. It's going to keep you from getting the COVID. It's going to, you know, and we're supposed to wait, you know, and hunker down and lock down until it's widely available. But this is misinformation. This fact that what virologists know is that it's impossible to come up with a vaccine that addresses the various variants of the coronavirus. So what happens instead is that billions of people pin their hopes on the vaccine. They have desperately waited for its deliverance, and at the same time, governments have channeled billions and billions of dollars into the development of these concoctions. And so there's a number of big pharma, big scientists, and so forth have become billionaires on the news of this progress and successful trials of the vaccines. And meanwhile, the frightened and gullible public is kept in the dark about the racket. Quoting again from his article, the first news that showed all was not well came when the Chinese vaccine Sinovac was found to be only 50% effective in Brazil. Bad as it was, we can be sure that even the paltry 50% figure was tweaked upwards by a joint effort of the Brazilian authorities who purchased the vaccine and the vaccine's Chinese manufacturer. They lied because it is in the interest of both parties to do so. End of quote. And interestingly, the Chinese manufacturer of the Sinovac vaccine initially claimed that it was 100% effective. Right. 100% effective in half of their test subjects, right?
Well, it depends on how you define effective, too. If it's raising cash at the expense of the people around the world, then that's very effective. If it's you know, raise a bunch of money and not be accountable for any of the negative effects, then it's certainly, you know, so we got to kind of define when they say that it's very effective or whatever, what effects we're trying to achieve. Is it to deceive the public or to truly stamp out the disease? What's the real goal?
Good point. Great point. You know, their goal, Big Pharma, is to make money. So obviously
very effective,
it's effective for them. That's right.
So given, this is interesting, though, ladies and gentlemen. The CDC now saying you don't got to take a coronavirus test before flights. Now the great vaccine scam is available. So you got Africa basically saying, hey, we're not going to deal with the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, but India is in the mix too.
That's right, Sam. They decided not to move forward with the Pfizer vaccine, the one that's called BioNTech. It was evaluated just in the past several weeks by a subject expert committee, and the committee noted the incidence of palsy, anaphylaxis, and other serious adverse events that had been reported during the post-marketing, and the causality of the events of the vaccine is being investigated, right? So furthermore, Pfizer, quote, has not proposed any plan to generate safety and immunogenicity data in the Indian population.
Yeah, and of course they won't, because they can't. It's not possible, lol.
Exactly. And so they're trying to pull the wool over the eyes of everybody in the world with this so-called vaccine. And India stands up, and this committee says, hey, you haven't tested the safety of this thing on the Indian people. We're not buying.
However, they do accept the Oxford one that Africa rejected, right?
Exactly. It's so crazy. The last paragraph of this article says, while India rejected Pfizer's vaccine, it approved the use of Oxford University AstraZeneca's vaccine and another one developed on home soil by Bharat Biotech, apparently, with the Indian, you know, anyway, so that's the report from
now,
India.
Let me give you an interesting tidbit worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So while the Indians, or, you know, in India, they said, we're not going to accept a certain one, but we will accept another. In Africa, they said, we're not going to accept one, but we'll accept a different one. In America, quote, Merck abandoning its COVID-19 vaccine development, dropping two, quote, listen, work in progress drugs after they failed to meet expectations in early testing. So now Merck abandoned its testing. What you really got is kind of a profit sharing going on between these pharmaceutical companies worldwide. Hey, you know what? We're Ford and we're Chevy and we control the whole car industry. And we're going to go ahead and say, you know, you like Fords and we like Chevys. And it's almost like a quid pro quota where every vaccine company is going to get rich. We'll drop this. You add this. You get this in this country. We'll get that in that country. And behind it all is Bill Gates. He gets a piece of everybody's everything. This is the strangest rollout globally that I've ever seen in my life. Lol, and Americans have never been more familiar with the names of, quote, big pharma than they in the history of the world than they are now. It's very, very strange.
Yes, indeed. I think it's strange that most commercials during nighttime TV are, you know, coming from big pharma. They're advertising drugs. They're advertising, you know, some wonder drug that does some wonderful thing for the human body. But then at the end of every advertisement, they list a bunch of problems that could occur. You know, you might have nosebleeding, vomiting, nausea, high fevers. You might even die, you know, and they actually put these things in the advertisement.
Strange heart palpitations and on and on and on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, the great vaccine scam, incredible article on LouRockwell.com. Vascol Colmayer with the story. And I'm telling you right now, part of the reason it's a big old vaccine scam is, one, they don't work. Two, they're very dangerous. They have never been tested. The whole world's being experimented on big time. Countries are rejecting vaccines left and right. The databases of ill effects from vaccines are replete with trouble, but no one knows about them. And it gets worse. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sam, that they don't want it to be 100% effective and safe, by the way. Even though they initially make that claim, they don't want it to be that way because they want these variants to pop up and so that they can come along later with a booster shot or a shot.
Keep the panic alive, keep the cash rolling. Dr. Joseph Mercola chimes in on the topic in seconds as well with Sam Bushman and Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Over 120 million Americans are under winter storm warnings, watches, or advisories as a big coast-to-coast winter storm brings snow, ice, and freezing temperatures to much of the United States. The storm has caused hundreds of flights to be canceled, and thousands have lost power from the Pacific Northwest to the Mid-Atlantic. President Biden approved an emergency declaration Sunday for all of Texas's 254 counties. President Trump praised his supporters for standing by his side. The president thanked his defense team and GOP lawyers for helping him preserve the rule of law and America's constitutional rights. Trump was acquitted over the weekend in his impeachment trial. New York City police have arrested a suspect in connection with four stabbing attacks on the city's A-train subway system that left two people dead since Friday. Rigoberto Lopez has been charged. New York City Police Commissioner Dermot Shea says 500 additional officers were being deployed to the city's transit system to make sure people feel safe. USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, but you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services, you get a huge network of doctors, you get great customer support, and you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Now that President Trump has been acquitted again under impeachment proceedings, what's the fallout? USA Radio News' Jeremy Scott has more.
Senator Graham tells Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has hurt the party in the 2022 elections by blasting former President Donald Trump, saying it would be used against them in campaign ads. The Senate acquitted Trump of inciting the riot at the U.S. Capitol, falling 10 votes shy of the two-thirds majority.
The process they used to impeach this president was an affront to rule of law. He's the first president to ever be impeached without a lawyer, without a witness, without ability to confront those against him, and the trial record was a complete joke. Hearsay upon hearsay, and we've opened Pandora's box to future presidents.
McConnell said Trump's, quote, crescendo of conspiracy theories caused the insurrection, but he voted to acquit because the Constitution does not permit the Senate to punish someone no longer in office. Seven Republicans found Trump guilty. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
We are USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the good Dr. Joseph Mercola speaks out as well and writes a very interesting article, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson's breaking it down for you now.
He starts out, Sam, did you know that the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are not vaccines in the medical and legal definition of a vaccine? They do not prevent you from getting the infection, nor do they prevent its spread. They're really experimental gene therapies. That's his opening line, Sam, and that really is the essence of the article right there in the first paragraph.
Yeah, and let me stop you there for a quick second and say this. In the era of fake news, where they're going to say, you know what, you guys say vaccines don't work without proof or without evidence. You guys say that masks don't work without evidence or whatever. And they run around and make all these claims about the things that we say. And then they're literally going to promote vaccines globally with trillions of dollars at stake and claim that they're vaccines and they've got 90 plus effectiveness rates. It's an absolute, complete, 100% satanic lie from the pit of hell. Fabrication. Okay? They are not vaccines, folks. All right? And this is not debatable. The average Joe could understand that very easily. All right? They're legally not vaccines, but they're also medically. Let me say that again. They are legally not vaccines, writes Joseph Mercola, but they're also not even medically vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. All right? Listen, mRNA COVID-19 vaccines aren't vaccines. All right? They do not prevent you from getting the infection. Let me say that again. They do not prevent you from getting the infection, nor do they prevent its spread. All right? They're experimental gene therapies is all they are. They don't give you a little piece of the, quote, virus in an effort to help you develop antibodies. They have a manufactured pattern that your body responds to that may or not be relevant next week when the new mutation comes out. They are lying to you. I don't know how to make it more bold and more in your face, but we can take this debate on because you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand it. And you ask a few very hardcore questions, and I'm telling you, they will not have this conversation with you because they know the truth, lol. This is why it's so evil and diabolical, because they know. All right? It's mass manipulation like you could not believe.
Spot on, Sam, my friend. According to the CDC, a vaccine is a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, thereby protecting the person from that disease. So, right? I mean, what it means, if you're immune to a disease, then you can be exposed to it without becoming infected, right? I mean, like, if you're immune to the measles, if you've gotten measles as a baby, right, or as an adolescent, and like I did, then you're immune from that disease forevermore, the rest of your life, right? And you can be exposed to the measles virus, and you do not come down with measles, right? That's the very definition of immunity. Well, neither Moderna nor Pfizer claim this to be the case for their COVID-19 vaccines. In fact, in their clinical trials, they specify that they will not even test for immunity. And in fact, Sam, those mRNA vaccines, they do not prevent you from getting the infection. All they do is mask the symptoms that are commonly associated with COVID-19 and lessen the symptomatic response of your body when you get exposed to the virus, right? I mean, that's all that the vaccine does. And unlike real vaccines, which use an antigen of the disease you're trying to prevent, COVID-19 injections contain synthetic RNA fragments encapsulated in a nanolipid carrier compound, the sole purpose of which is to lessen clinical symptoms associated with the S1 spike protein, not the actual virus. So, a real vaccine uses an antigen of the disease you're trying to prevent, but the COVID vaccine contains synthetic RNA fragments, not even an antigen of the disease you're trying to prevent. So, they do not actually impart immunity. They do not inhibit transmissibility of the disease. They are not designed to keep you from getting sick with SARS-CoV-2. They only are supposed to lessen your infection symptoms if and when you do get infected. That's what Joseph Mercola stated in this article. Mask the symptoms, in other words, folks, so you feel as though the vaccine benefited you at least a little bit, right? So you think that the vaccine is helping you out. Well, we know that the vaccine is not a real vaccine. Now, that's the medical perspective. Let's take a look at the legal perspective on this so-called vaccine. Moderna's SEC filings specifies and stresses that its technology is, wait for it, quote, gene therapy technology, end of quote. That's what Moderna itself says. It's a gene therapy technology. Now, originally, its technology was set up to be a cancer treatment. So more specifically, it's really a chemotherapy gene therapy technology. Now, who's going to take that, right? Who's going to inject a chemotherapy gene therapy treatment, and so they decide, well, we better call it a vaccine because nobody's going to take gene therapy chemotherapy, right? So as long as the U.S. is under a state of emergency, then the FDA and the CDC are allowed to use the PCR test in the COVID-19 vaccine, out in the public, as long as there's a declaration of a state of emergency. And so we can speculate that there's another reason.
And as long as we call it vaccine under that state of an emergency, we have no choice but to call it vaccine, because if we do, then the big pharma companies are not, quote, liable. If we call it gene therapies, they become liable. It's the national, quote, emergency that allows us then to change the name to, quote, protect the innocent, if you will. It's all necessary because of the national emergency. We have to. It's kind of like how we lied to everybody and said, we don't really need masks. Well, I guess you do need a mask. We told you that because we wanted the medical personnel on the front lines to have masks, and we didn't want you guys to take them all, so we lied to you. Now we're saying you got to have masks. Well, they're lying again. But this is the same kind of manipulation going on here by saying it's a vaccine when it's not. It's gene therapy, experimental. And they do that by this national emergency, which lets them get away with it as a, quote, necessity. The end justifies the means. Mass manipulation, lol.
Totally. By maintaining the illusion that COVID-19 is a state of emergency when in reality it's not, then government leaders are actually providing cover for these gene therapy companies so they can get immunity from liability. Now, one last point that Joseph Mercola makes in his article I think is really interesting too, and that's how CDC broke the law. Well, it turns out something that occurs in nature cannot be patented. Right? So you take a plant like a geranium outside, very natural. You cannot patent a geranium because it occurs in nature. It's naturally occurring. And yet the CDC owns the patent on the SARS-CoV virus, right? The CDC owns that patent, which means it was man-made, right? If you can't patent something that's natural, then whatever is patented is unnatural or man-made. And if it was man-made, then the CDC broke the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, which says you cannot develop bioweapons. So, either way, the CDC broke the law. These injections are not vaccines. They do not prevent infection. They do not render you immune. And they do not prevent transmission of the disease. Instead, Sam, they alter your genetic coding, turning you into a viral protein factory that has no off switch. What's happening here, says Dr. Mercola, is a medical fraud of unprecedented magnitude, and it really needs to be stopped before it's too late for a majority of the people. End of quote.
Well, it's already too late because they're saying a million Americans, what, a day are being injected with this experimental vaccine is what they would, you know. So they would call it a vaccine tested, safe, and effective on the market. The truth is, it's experimental gene therapy. And there's, what, a million Americans a day getting the jab based on these lies, lol?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
And so while you can't, you may not be able to prevent the continued deployment of these vaccines in the public, you can stop them from being deployed in your own family. And that's where it matters most, Sam, in your own family.
And in your own body. Other than that, hey, you know, mass manipulation, gentlemen. How it works. Let's talk about that coming up in seconds on your radio. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. You are listening to lovingliberty.net.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit TopreserveTheNation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And I'm Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson riding shotgun in the show today, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org, the websites that Lowell represents. And Lowell, I don't know how to even deal with this. It's become so diabolical. So evil, so dishonest at its core, the mass manipulation is so out of control. It's helpful to kind of discuss how it works, because it just seems to be anything we say, people are like, what the heck? I mean, nobody knows where to turn for truth, lol.
Well, and that's one reason why it does behoove us from time to time to take a look at what's being done in the mass media, what's being done in a marketplace of ideas, and how it's affecting us, or how it might be affecting us. And so I think this is very helpful. You know, as I think about these things, I am, because I know how influence works, then I am able to, when I watch a newscast, basically I laugh out loud at the tactics being taken by the newscaster in order to manipulate me into believing something or into doing something. And because I know the techniques of influence, the art of persuasion, really, then I'm able to defy that or to stop that from happening in my own brain, right, in my own world. So we have to talk about influence, which is the power of persuasion. If you understand it, then you're going to be more easily able to recognize it when others are persuading you, and be able not to be influenced by their persuasion. So there is a difference between persuade and convince. Persuade is what you do when you want someone else to do or to believe what you say. If you convince them, then you've been successful in persuading them. But if you don't convince them, you may still have persuaded them, but you are unsuccessful in your your persuasion. So that's the difference between persuade and convince. So you're going to have people...
So they might persuade me to wear a mask when I walk into a store because I feel like I have no choice due to the browbeating, mm-hmm. and the mocking and the abuse that takes place, the literal, the bullying that takes place. That doesn't mean that I'm convinced just because I put on a mask today. I just have greater anger and hatred and mistrust for you. But yet that doesn't mean that I'm convinced.
Exactly. And so it does us well not to be convinced by the persuasion of evil through the spin that's put on things. And so there's just a handful of principles of persuasion or principles of influence that it's helpful to look at. Number one really is the repetition of the same information over and over persuades you to believe that information. And so you notice this a lot on the billboards up and down I-15. You notice this in the public service announcements over the radio, and then the mainstream radio and the mainstream corporate press, always talking about COVID and what a danger it is and how important it is to mask up and how important it is to hunker down, a lockdown, and to stay safe, right? Stay safe, stay socially distanced or physically distanced by 6 feet. And if you can't do that, then wear the mask. I mean, all of this over and over, repetition every day, pounding on you over and over. Repetition of the same false information eventually is thought of as true. Now, if you know that repetition is one of the devices, one of the tactics of the adversary, one of the tactics of the dark side, then you can be then you're fortified against that attack. And so, as you go throughout the day, every time you see a sign that it reminds you to physically distance by 6 feet, or you see a billboard that reminds you to mask up or whatever, you can know that is basically a tactic of persuasion intended to get you to believe that COVID-19 is dangerous, or that you're supposed to behave in certain ways because of its existence. Well, it's a boogeyman. It's devised. It's built up out of thin air. Nothing could be further from the truth, and yet most people believe it's the truth because of repetition. So here's the next one. Illusion of choice. Do you want the Pfizer vaccine, or do you want the Oxford vaccine? Right? So you get this binary choice.
Hashtag jab me not, sir.
That's right. The question is launched in a way that makes you feel as though you have a choice, right? Because if you have a choice, then you're exercising your freedom, right? And when in reality, the choice to get vaccinated was already made for you. It's a tacit decision already made for you. When they ask you, do you want the Pfizer vaccine or do you want the Oxford vaccine? They are presupposing that you have already agreed to take the vaccine. So beware of that, folks, this illusion of choice. When it feels like you have a choice, when in reality they have already made the choice for you, and then you just get to choose the flavor of the bad stuff coming down the pike.
Lowell, let me tell you the big way that I know when they're peddling propaganda. One of the great truth tellers that I know of, or lie detectors mm-hmm. that I use. Okay, mass mm-hmm. manipulation, how it works. Here's how you debunk it or jettison it. Whenever they try to quell dissenting voices by mm-hmm. force,
mm-hmm.
you know that they've got propaganda that they don't want to be exposed. So I'll give you an example. They're now saying, hey, if you deny global warming or climate change, you know what? We need to probably arrest you and put you in jail. Well, if they've got the science, why don't they debate it till the cows come home and just beat me with science? Answer, because they can't. Okay? So they want to put me in jail and shut me up. Same thing with Barack Obama's birth certificate. What they do is they label me a birther. They don't debate the reality of the argument. They just try to make you believe I'm a conspiracy nut. Okay? And we go right on down the road with masks. What they say about masks is, you don't wear them. You're a selfish individual. You know, you're going to put everybody at risk. You're going to... They don't debate the science of a mask. They don't debate, okay, vaccines. How dare you? The government says they're safe and effective. How dare you dissent from that? In fact, you ought to not even be allowed to peddle such propaganda. We're going to take you off of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and shut you down. Your comments, your viewpoints have no place here. You know when they go to force. You know when they go to literally jettisoning the argument and personal attacks. You're a nut, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a right wing, you're a warmonger, you're a QAnon supporter, they have no arguments left, and they've got to go to these whacked out extremes to literally assassinate your character, because otherwise they will lose the debate. So you're a racist. Now we can, okay, whatever they do, it always takes the debate discussion away. Same thing with the Capitol. The reason I think it's a fraud, the Capitol abuse that took place, and that it wasn't General Trump supporters, right after they didn't go in and say, that's a horrible thing, stop the criminals, now let's continue and decide if we're going to investigate vote fraud or not. What they did is said, oh golly, that was so horrible, now the vote fraud lies are off the table. Wait a minute, we never got to debate, discuss those lies, or so-called lies. Okay, so they changed the game. Okay, the vote fraud issue got taken off the table for discussion. Anybody brings it up now, not only did you breach the Capitol and are you evil, but now you want to go down that lie again road? Never mind the fact that I can produce all kinds of evidence, see? We're now changing the game. So whenever they use force and lies and manipulation and character assassination to get their way, you know they don't have evidence and facts on their side. You know, lol.
Yeah, well said, Sam. well said. You know, truth is the first casualty of war, and this is a war in the marketplace of ideas. It's absolutely war, and this asymmetric warfare that you described, where they change the rules on you, is part of their game plan, right? It's uncertainty that exists. Everything is never the same, right? We're approaching a new normal, a global reset, right? These are elements, the tactics of the adversary, of the dark side. And what you just said there, Sam, was spectacular. Yeah, anytime.
All right, now let's apply that mass manipulation to the next final story we have. It's not related to everything we've been talking about, except for the propaganda that's peddled the same issue. Banning transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports. So I say, hey, we shouldn't have this male and female created he, them, by God. And they say, you don't have any proof. We're talking about how you identify, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now the battle's on for the facts. And if I speak out too boldly, then they say, you know what, Sam? You just don't respect females, or you just don't respect males, or you just... And pretty soon, it's about me being a jerk, a hater, a Christian, a chauvinist. I don't know what they'll come up with. But let's debate the facts about scientific male and female. And that's where the legislation starts, really, in the debate on who stands where, lol.
That's right, Sam. In the Utah Legislature House Education Committee last Thursday, they were discussing a bill, HB 302, entitled Preserving Sports for Female Students. I listened to the second hour of that debate right when they were taking public comment, and so I heard all the public comment that was given in committee on this bill. But first of all, you need to know this bill would prevent males from competing in female sports, right? Biological males cannot compete in female sports programs in high schools in Utah. That's essentially what the bill says. And it only makes sense, right? To allow males to compete against females would rob females of meaningful opportunities to train, to compete, to go to college on athletic scholarships, and so forth. And it just goes without saying, and I didn't hear any testimony contradicting the fact that males are generally bigger, stronger, and faster than females. But during this hearing that I listened to, what I heard in opposition to the bill came mainly from those who say you cannot deny a transgender the right to compete as a female if he identifies himself as a female. You got to treat him equally, they say. That was the biggest opposition came from that quarter, right? You can't deny a person, you know, a boy, a biological male, from competing in a female sport if he identifies as a female person, right? And so then secondarily, on the heels of that opposition is the reluctance of some legislators to approve a bill which might get them into hot water in the courts, right? Because Idaho's law, which became law last year, it's in litigation at the moment. I read up on that a little bit and found that there's a boy in high school in Idaho who claims he's a transgender female, and he sued the state of Idaho. And so there's a lot of Utah legislators that don't want to pull a trigger on this HB 302 in Utah until after they see the outcome of what happens in Idaho. A bunch of wimps. But that's what they're thinking, Sam. That's what our legislature, if the bill passed by an 8-6 vote, by the way, it came out of committee with a favorable recommendation. It's going to be a contentious issue on the House floor, but I hope they take a vote on it, because I want to see all the who all the wimps in Utah legislature are, at least in the House. It'll expose them as if it hasn't been exposed already, but this will be
another. It'll put them on record of who's who, though, no doubt about it, sir. And we bring this up even though it's a Utah issue, even though this is a nationally syndicated, nationwide/worldwide show, because this is probably going on in a local political theater near you. So,
yeah, there's
16
other states right now considering this kind of legislation, right? It's a third of the states. You may live in such a state.
And your state may have already talked about it, or they will soon. God save the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Lowell.